that if there's a ring around the moon, it always gets stormy. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then the size of the ring, I don't get that at all. Like sometimes there's a great big ring around the moon. Sometimes it's not as big. I don't know the meaning of it. And then wintertime, or even in summertime, if there's you call it sun dogs around the sun, it means it's gonna be cold. I know that. And then, like if in the evening, like if it's cloudy like this all day, and just towards the time when the sun is gonna set, you know, just about reaching the horizon, and then if the sun come out, that means that it's gonna rain tomorrow. And I see that happen all the time, so I guess it's true. There's a word for it. In my way, it's or something like that. Well, I said, that's what I said. The sun is looking back. Uh-huh. That's what it means. And it rains the next day. You see, it's cloudy. And all of a sudden, the sun is shining across there, you know. That means it's going to rain again tomorrow. Not my parents. From here and there. Just listening to old people, you know. Well, rhubarb, wild rhubarb, I know, like I said, you know, when we were coming out of Norway, we used to stop, and my mother used to gather these wild rhubarb, and then she used to cook it with what little sugar we have. That was good. That was our fruit for the day. And then we look around the hills, and then we pick a few Lobos cranberries, last year cranberries, you know. If we get enough, we cook that too, and it's good. Good to eat it with dry meat and tallow, you know, and bare fat, you know.
Do you know any people who would be
rude? I know my mother used to gather these young willows. All different types, young spruce tree, birch tree, a lot of other different plants or trees, you know. And she used to boil it, and then used to give us bath in it once in a while. I don't know what was it for. Mm-hmm, yeah. And sometimes if people are sick, they used to drink that, dilute it, and then drink it. We used to see old people do that, you know, hoping that we get cured from it, I guess. I never noticed that when I was younger, but then later when I come up here, I know all were Anwak, and then used to eat. I think they still do, because their daughter was here not long ago when her grandson drowned it. She came down. She said, "I should gather stinkweed for my folks," she said. And I believe they still use it. They believe strongly in the stinkweed. I don't know what they're really called, but it grows all over around here. They take a bath in it, and they drink it, they put it in their tea, in their juices. I know Olga and Oliver Amwick believe a lot in it. And they're old couple, and they're hardly sick. Mm-hmm. They say it's a cure-all for almost everything. Even this, they claim that it's even for cancer. I don't know how true this is, but that's what they say. Mm-hmm. One time, I tried it myself. My old stove, my daughter was baking, Joyce. And I don't know what she did to the stove. Anyway, we had a little problem with it. And she was going to bake. And she was lighting it, blew up with her, and it burned her face, you know, and then some on her arm. But she turned it off right away. And while she went down to hospital, I boiled up this stuff right away, this stinkweed, because it was in summer. And when she came back, well, that's the first thing I told her, you just put this on your face, you know. But all they did was they gave her just salve, you know. But her face was just all blistered, you know, just blisters here and there on her face and on her arm. So I tried this stuff, and it worked. We never had to use the salve at all.
So she put the leaves on?
Or just the solution. And then we just put it in a washcloth, and we just wring it out a little and just put it on her face. And we just kept doing that. And, you know, she didn't even have a scar on her arm, nothing. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can even ask her about it, because she mentions it once in a while. It's stink, all right. Yeah, but it's good. Like Pauline Cornell, that's Oliver Amwick and his daughter. She said they dry the leaves and they just grind up these leaves and just put it in salve. And they use that for sores and stuff like that. But I never tried it like that. Just think, so many things at right here, and we don't get to practice using it. Only when you're desperate, you do something like that. Like in Joyce's case, you know, I was worried about the blisters on her face, you know. But we never got to use this salve that they gave her.
Do you know about any other things that people used to use for anything?
Not offhand, I don't remember. But I know I used to eat a lot of Hybrid cranberries when I was growing up. I always remember that. I used to eat a lot of it. From the time it starts getting ripe, you know, when it's half ripe, I just eat it off a tree. I never use sugar or nothing. But I used to eat a lot of that.
Does it seem like when you were young that, you know, maybe you don't remember what the things were, but you think they used more or something?
At Galena, we had to. Like this wild rhubarbs, and we went for berries a lot because there was hardly any canned fruits, you know.
Did the medicine people ever use plants?
No, not that I know of. Only thing I know is that they always tell you, well, don't eat blueberries for so-and-so period, you know, or some other type of animal or whatever. That's their way, I guess.
Was there ever any problem, say, with a priest or anybody who was outside the village, you know, saying,
oh yes, they always just say don't believe in them, you know. I guess that's the reason I didn't pay much attention to them, because I went to catechism a lot, you know, every chance I got, so I didn't pay too much attention to them. but I know there's something to them. I know.
But it seems that they were really, you know, the strong. They were the strongest people in the villages before the priest came.
Oh yes, they were. They were feared, you know. Another thing I noticed about them is that there were some medicine men that used to take advantage of their being a medicine man. They used to go and they used to ask women, you know. How would you say it? Have an affair with them or whatever. And they always used to, they would never be alone. I noticed this, you know, around Kaikuk. But don't put it in a book because his wife is still living. Yeah. Well, but you could say, you know, that. Yes, They were feared because they took advantage of that.
So were there some that took advantage and, you know, others who really didn't?
No, Leo Kaplan wasn't like that, though he was a medicine man. It seemed like nobody feared him, you know. I mean, not the women at all. Because his wife was a real strong-minded woman, and if she ever heard that her husband did that, you know, she'd raise Cain. He was more scared of her.
Was she a medicine woman too?
No, but that's her husband, you know. You better not do that. I sure like to know. I don't know. Just nobody practices it anymore and it just disappeared, I guess. But I hear outside it's coming back a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's another thing. It comes back, but then everybody fights it, you know. Nobody wants it. And some people try to be. I mean, you know, it comes to them, but they refuse it.
Oh, you mean the people themselves?
Yes, refuse it. Mm-hmm.
So what kinds of things might come to them, like being able to see what's going to happen?
Yes, and they get, I don't know how I would say it. I never had that experience, but I hear that a lot of times that this medicine thing come to them, but they refuse it. And then, as a result, they have all kinds of problems for a while.
When they refuse it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They kind of got it out of their mind, and they don't sleep good, and stuff like that. For a while, they get out of it.
Thing when there's something that strong comes to you.
Yes, right. That's true.
What do the young people think about that?
I don't think they know too much about it. Mm. I don't think my kids know any too much about it because I never talked to them about it. I don't think. Oh, I mentioned medicine people once in a while, you know, but they're not too curious about it, you know. No, they don't ask too many questions.
What kind of things do they ask about? What do they seem interested in?
Which man?
What kind of things do they ask about?
Well, it was, they always say, is it for real, you know? And I always do believe that it's around.
What kind of things do you tell them?
I tell them, well, it must be there because all my life I hear things about it and then... You always see tracks, you know, big tracks that's unaccounted for and stuff like that.
What do those tracks look like?
Bigfoot. That's what it says. Bigfoot. And then I was not there when it happened. It happened at Old Loudoun that Valentine Damaski had experience with one. I don't know how true this is. But he saw one. They're just playing around with him, you know. It would right in front of him, he'd his folks just left, I guess, for Galena in a rowboat, you know. And he was playing with boat on the beach, you know, and it's like a little boy. And all of a sudden he looked up, looked down, and here was this thing standing full of hair, you know, and kind of short. And he got scared, and some people say he started throwing rocks at it, and then it just kind of made a whistling sound, and there was on a hill up there, you know, bare hill right up here, and there it was. So he started running back up towards the camp, and it just came in front of him again, you know, just like that. I don't know how true this is, but...
So it's almost like it could die or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have power. Mm-hmm. And to do those things. So he didn't know what to do, so he just started running down after where his folks left in a boat. And just when they were just going down and they saw him running around a point, so they landed and he told them what he just was in shock like. So they just took him to Green. And that's when he told what happened to him. But he wasn't well all summer after that. Because it was too much of a shock for him, I guess.
Well,
that's the same place where I'm talking about, Old Loudon. Mm-hmm. And then my dad never stuck around there after it started getting dark. We just moved back down.
Well, what kind of things do people do if, you know, if they start having trouble in the room? Is there anything they can do to protect themselves? Or just stay away?
You leave people alone. Unless, sometimes you say people disappear, you know, they're gone. I don't know if they blame it on to the Bigfoot or not. But
well, what other things do your children seem to be interested in and scared of? And when do they seem to like listening the most?
Gee, I don't know. They're not interested in nothing, I don't think. I don't remember, really. Maybe they do once in a while, but I don't remember. Yes, maybe you could ask them, you know. And then maybe I'll be surprised with the kind of answers I come up with. I don't remember, really.
Do you have any questions of taking up while you're hearing this trip?
Well, I'm thinking about that. Miss Bannon, because she bought the family, and it seems like she's going to experience things different than her parents. And she knows more about the outside of, you know, white culture. Learning a lot of people, so learning a lot of people in my own experience.
Okay.
Well, I hope I come up with good answers.
Yeah, well, what does it mean to you, you know, in your own life to have a family? How is family important to you?
You mean like my parents or my children?
Well, I guess it's what is a family, you know. Is it the family to you? Is it your parents and aunts and uncles and children and their children? Or do you think more of?
Think more of. What do you mean? Well, my family mean a lot to me. I always did, even my cousins, you know. So, seems like all my cousins always think a lot of me because they know that I care a lot for them, like Hazel Strasberg and I were close. Marion Baker and I are close. Those are the closest cousins that I know, you know. And the rest of my cousins, that they all think the world of me, like Amy Damaski, all of them.
And you think the same way about them?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I hardly see any cousins that think the world of each other like that, you know. Not very often, anyway.
So that makes it sound really big to some people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. And then my nephews and my nieces, they think the world of me. It's like I'm their favorite aunt, you know. They always say, oh, my aunt, you know. Mary's kids and Cecilia's kids think the world of me. And Angela Grasso's kids think the world of me, you know. I guess I'm well liked by my relatives.
Do you like
the feeling of having some
people close to you? Does that make you feel good?
To know that
there are
some young people that likes me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, just like my nephew Norman Carlo. I'm his favorite aunt. And Louise. What's the matter? Did she cry?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Yeah. Still in bed.
Mm-hmm. So, well, what is important to you? Well, let's say, do you talk to your kids about how important when you're raising them? Is that something you talk about? Mm-hmm. And how much you care about each other?
No, I just I leave it up to them, really. If they like a cousin, they really like a cousin. Like, they take Norman as their, just like their brother, because he's been here with us all through his high school years. So, you know, he's more like a brother to them than their cousin. And Curtis is the same way, he's his brother. They're happy when Curtis come back, and he comes back to visit us. That's Norman's brother. And then when I was down Ruby the last time, Mary was just telling me, oh yeah, Curtis was saying that he wish he could go up so he could hunt spruce hens for you, you know, this fall. I said, well, that's a nice thought, you know. But I don't think he could do it because he's planning on going to Victor High College.
Mm-hmm. So, let's say there's some families you see where even brothers and sisters never see each other. You know, so family, just like family doesn't mean very much.
Yes, my kids. I don't know if you say that they're really that close. Oh, I don't know. I guess they do. They do more than most, I think, you know. But then, they're different than me. I'm lost for words once in a while. Well, I don't know. Things bother them too much. Things that wouldn't bother me, you know. I think I'm too. Sometimes I think I'm too kind-hearted, you know, and I always say, oh, Mom, could we use a truck? And I said, sure, go ahead. And they always turn around and they say, well, you always buy the gas all the time. Why don't they fill up your car sometimes, you know, instead of you buying the gas and they drive the car? Things like that, you know. Well, I never think of things like that. And then, Little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think about it. And then I get to thinking about it after a while. That's a trouble. Maybe they're right.
Well, how do you feel like when you're growing up and, you know, with your sisters and brothers and your parents, how was that different than your children growing up? You know, say your parents and your brothers and sisters, that generation, how's that different from you and your children? What kinds of things are just very different from you?
Well, just like in my time, my brothers and sisters and I, we never used to travel around in the airplane. That's the difference. Now that's the only way my children travel around, is just by flying around, and once in a while by boat, you know, if you get lucky enough. And they get to travel, they get to go outside and stuff like that. They go to Hawaii. Three of my daughters went to Hawaii for a vacation. About a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And then they go to California. Things like that. In fact, they went to Spain 1 year. That's one thing we never used to do.
What kind of things would your own parents say was different about how you grew up? You know, what things did
well,
you think they never did?
My parents? I don't know, because my mother never talked about it. I know they never used to fly when they were kids. My first plane flight was 1940 when I came to Canada. No, I don't know. I don't think my mother would want to go. She's getting old, and she was in the TB hospital a long time. That's when this trouble developed, you know. My father moved out on the kids. Of course, we don't want to put this in. He moved out on the kids, left the kids alone, and moved in with this woman, you know. So, oh, he watched them from there, you know. But then I was already up here then. The way my sister tells me, Cecilia forgets. She says she had a rough time of it with my family, you know, with her brothers and sisters, because she took over where I left off, I guess, because by then my sister was married to Mary. She married Charlie Carlo.
But it seems like there are things in their life that, you know, you can play a real different too.
Oh, yes, my parents? Oh, yes. Even their school was different, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I never did ask them what kind of school they went to. My mother never went to school. She was always at camp. And what little she learned was they had an adult education there in the evening there for a while. The teacher just did it on her own, you know. And they learned how to read a little. They used to call them primer, I guess, that they used to read.
Well, what was
your school like?
It was
good. I liked school.
Where did you go to school?
In Galena. No other place.
What was that like? Do you remember any particular
one schoolroom? Yes. Mr. Peck and his wife. And then Miss McElroy. Those are the two teachers I remember the most. Did it all they can to teach me. I always regret I never went to high school. I always think all these children are lucky they went to high school. Because I'm always home taking care of my mother. She's always having babies, and I have to do the work, you know.
What's the best thing you remember happening in school?
Learning. Natural answer. Well, I remember that we never had much of a recess. I don't think even some days we had that. And since that's all they do nowadays is one whole big recess in school. I don't know how they learn anything. I shouldn't say that. Maybe I'm wrong. But I remember we just started our schedule is just right there. You're going to start your pledge to the flag, you know, and then singing, and then you do your reading, your, you call it arithmetic now, them days, spelling, and then we, teachers used to save all newspapers, like if you're up in the upper grades, you had to do that. Yes, and try to read about Hitler. Gee, I didn't know it was that important them days. And, I never paid much attention. Yeah. How he, what a powerful man he was, you know, and all that. Yeah, it seemed far away from me at the time, you know, and I was trying to read about Hitler and Mussolini and all of them. I didn't know that they were going to raise havoc in the world at the time. That was in 30, 35, I guess. And that's the time we were reading those old newspapers. Although it's old, we still read it. And then we try to make a report about these big people, which they were, I guess. I think my dad did, but I don't know about my mother because she didn't go to school, so she didn't know. She always used to tell when, you know, when we were smaller, she always used to say, I'm not raising you girls to marry white men, you know. She already knew it, I guess, that I don't know what was her hang up on it. There's a couple of occasions when she used to tell us that. But all my sisters married white people. I didn't. I don't know if that was from being obedient or not. No, that was not her feeling at all. It's just that she didn't like the idea, I guess. She think that we won't be treated right if we married a white man, I guess. I don't know what was her hang up on it.
So, was it important to you for your children to get an education?
Yes, I felt that way. Jeanette is the only one that's going to college, and Julie took training. Francis never went on. He just wanted to be a trapperman and a fisherman. That's it. After they served their hitch in the Navy.
How education is important for your children?
Oh, yeah. You know, when I think about it, I used to think it was really important to have an education, but then as time passed, you know, there's a lot of people that's educated, you know, through college and everything, and still they're drifting around. It don't seem like it was that important. I don't know if it's there from their own choice or not. Like right now, I wish everybody had some kind of training. Like Jackie's talking about, he wish he could take carpentry. Yeah. Okay, what do you want me to do with it? Carpenter training, you know. I think it's good. I wish he could. I wish they could just make up their mind and do it.
Well, you said at least one of your sons went to Copper Center.
No, all of them.
Well, all of them.
Mm-hmm. That's where they went to high school. Mm-hmm. It's a Catholic high school. Yeah. Well, that's good. And when they get to talk about it, they say they're not sorry that that's where they went to school. It's a good experience for them. My oldest son went to school there. He graduated from there.
Well, what do you think is going to happen to the young people? What do you think is going to be like in the next 10 years?
Well, the way I see it, they just go on to high school, and then most of them, they just stop there. They have their diploma. I don't know if it do them any good. Maybe it does, I don't know. I don't see where it do any good. But it's good to have.
Do you think something should change in the school?
There's a lot of new things in school from my time, you know, so the way I see it, you know, like math and this new thing that's coming out, metric or whatever they call it. I don't know. We just have to, young people, old people alike, have to just learn new system, I guess.
Yeah, I just wonder what is going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Like a lot of old people say, everything that's been said is happening, even from long ago, even before white people came along. They predicted things, you know, like there was going to be airplanes. They didn't call them airplanes, but they know it was some kind of metal. They didn't know what metal was, but they say it was something shiny. And they're going to see a lot of that in the air. Things like that. And there's some few things they predict. I don't remember what it is right now. And it's happening. And then there's few that said that towards the end of the world, there's going to be a lot of us that's going to be picked out to die. And it's happening. A whole lot of us is gone. One day we're here, and next day we're gone. Mm-hmm. Especially among young people. A lot of suicide among young people.
Mm-hmm. That must have a really strong effect on the whole village when it starts happening.
It seemed like it, you know. People wonder, people always talk about it. Why? You know. But I think we know what causes it, because in my time, I think the only thing that we used to hear about is we experienced some of that happening around our village, you know. People drink, but they used to have to make their own homebrew. And some people smoke, but not that much either. I remember my mother used to smoke, and she breaks her cigarette in half and she go outdoors and she smoke outdoors because she say it's better with the fresh air, you know. And then a carton of cigarettes used to last them a month, I guess. I know it used to last them if you just smoke half cigarette a day, or maybe even a little more, maybe one cigarette a day, you know, smoking it half at a time. bound to last a long time. And that's the only thing that we used to know that used to be around. We never knew there was going to be such a thing as marijuana and cocaine. And lately I've been hearing angel dust, you know. I don't know the meaning of them. No.
Well, since the drinking is such a problem, you know, I was wondering about the fact that Tan and I have voted not to have a liquor store here. And it seems even people who drink themselves vote against it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Because we had this problem before. We had a liquor store here before. And then it was so that it had gotten so bad. You know, the people were just going around in groups, you know, that's men especially. And then they'd borrow gun or they'd borrow snowshoe with good intention of returning it. But then when they get desperate, well, they sell it, you know. And then even the storekeeper, Vishan, Andy Vishan, said that's not good because he started hearing about this happening. He said it never happened before, but it just started happening. And he said it's not good. And he said, even though I run a liquor store, I own it and everything, he said, I guess it's best, you know, if people start thinking that they should close it, it's fine. And it did happen. I don't remember what year it was, but it did close. Yes, he went along with it. Yeah, people decided that they can close it, and they voted on it. The majority of people voted against it.
Well, what about people who bring
You know, people kick a lot about it, but I don't think they really want to do something about it, but they don't know how to go about it, or they know that they really have to have a good proof that it's, you know, who's doing it. And there's too many of them doing it, I guess, you know, here and there. Yes, yeah. So openly, some are so open with it, and still seem that there's nothing they could do about it. Oh, yes. Yes, they get a lot of money out of it. They get one case of booze and they sell it for $20 a bottle, $15 a bottle, whatever. That's big money right there. Yeah. And people that's on Social Security or, boy, they're the ones that really go for it too, it seems, you know. I guess because they're lonely. I don't know. They're alone. You know, no family of their own. Some of them get hooked so young.
Do you think the town will ever vote to have a liquor store again?
Well, they're talking about it. I don't know how it's going to go.
What do they have to do? What has to happen before they could have a store?
It's up to the village people, I mean, the community. They have to, it has to be so many percent of the people voting for it.
What percent is that?
Gee, I don't remember. It was said at the council meeting, city meeting. They're the ones that want to put up a liquor store. I hear, I don't know how true this is. I heard it.
City council?
Yes. So city-owned liquor store,
so
I guess.
Money would come back.
Yes, they want to keep the money here.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of the money is just
going out. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's hard on the village.
Well, I don't know. It's hard everywhere. It'd be hard anyway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is moving. The door is open.
Yeah.